Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Welcome in, my possum friends. We are Offensive Points. Josh is not here tonight, so it is Billy and I taking the AFC West. We're going to dive through the AFC West. We already talked about the strange division, and yeah, we'll do our best to get through it. But I hope everyone had a great fourth. We know Najee Harris did not, so that'll come up in the discussion. And, I mean, guys, training camp starting up here. I mean, rookies are reporting in 2 days. Camp starting up in just a couple of weeks. So this is crunch time for fantasy football. Billy and I have the Scott Fishbowl draft live in KC coming up on Sunday. We've got our home league coming up later this month. You know, it's on us, guys. So I hope everyone's paying attention. If you have any questions, feel free to send them out. Answer them on Twitter. That'd be perfectly fine. So, Billy, how are you doing today?
I got a hot take, Joe, coming right off the top here.
I love it.
I like July drafts. I like it. I like that we're already getting into this. I love that we're already like going to have our teams ready and set go. I realize the casual fan out there, and that is a derogatory term to some. I'm not meaning it that way. But like, I understand that like you want to watch how training camp goes in plays and like who is on the depth chart, who might get cut, who's going to get injured because there's going to be an inevitable injury before the season. But I don't know. It is kind of fun already having your team locked down in the middle of July, and then you're going into August kind of like already in GM mode of like, am I going to need to make a trade? Am I going to need to hunt the waiver wires? Like maybe there's a guy that the rest of the league hasn't really hopped on yet that I could grab that we just totally missed out of 15 to 20 rounds. I don't know, Joe. I think I might be a July draft guy, and I never thought it'd be that one.
Billy, I love July drafts. The value that you can get on these players is just insane. You can grab, you know, the values are nuts. And then at the end of your draft, you can get Keenan Allen. You can get Amari Cooper just for free because you know they're going to sign somewhere. You know those guys are just waiting to see how many years they can get on a contract because they're trying to keep making money. Mm-hmm. They're going to land somewhere. They're going to tank some values as some players. So we got to watch out for those landmines. But shit, if you're drafting in July, just take them with the 250th pick. Drop them if they don't sign for some reason. But, I mean, Amari Cooper just averaged, what, 30 points a game with the Browns last year before going to the Bills. And Keenan Allen was really solid on the Bears. So you got two guys out there essentially free. These rookies, you know, your top guys are very overrated. Your quiet guys are very valuable as well. So, I mean, we've been doing this since January. As soon as the regular season ended, we were already diving into fantasy football for 2025. So I love seeing the values we're getting right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a little different for us since we're like paying attention to this every week and we're literally breaking down entire football teams as the summer goes on. But hey, all you have to do is listen to this podcast and you'll have a pretty complete breakdown of each and every team. We're not going to leave any stone left unturned. So I don't know. I feel like that's a bad thing on them, but I don't know. I'm just like, we're drafting this coming weekend. We're going to draft a couple weekends and then all of the August drafts that are already going to happen anyway. So it's like, you're not really missing anything there either. So I don't know. Kind of excited. Yeah. Scott Fishbowl this week. Let's do it. I've already like seen a bunch, like already almost completed drafts for Scott Fishbowl. And I'm just like, man, we haven't even started yet. Like, let's get into this.
Yeah. So, I love looking at those drafts because there is not one, like, you know, when you look at a traditional fantasy football draft, you have your – everything's pretty close on ADP. There might be a couple reaches. Mm-hmm. But the Scott Fishbowl, the way it's structured with the bonuses, I mean, people are just doing whatever the hell they want in drafts. There are teams with all wide receivers, all running backs. I've seen a team draft literally every tight end from tight end 15 to 25 on rankings. It's, you know, it's wild out there.
You just have to go into these drafts with a different strategy. I love like listening to the shows about Scott Fishbowl because it's just like at the end of the day, it's kind of just like you're going up against the entire 2,000 person field. So you can draft a heck of a team to win your little division within the whole thing. But do you have a good enough team to win the whole thing? That's where you got to get a little creative.
It's exciting. It's for charity. So, you know, go get your guys. Have some fun with it. That's what I'm going to try to do, but I am going to try to win. God damn it.
Well, I mean, Josh is literally right behind me right behind me in the draft. So he's just going to be sniping all of my shit anyway. So, yeah, that'll be fun.
Fist fight in Kansas City.
Well, luckily there's not a lot of players that Josh is going to take that I'm going to be like, oh damn, I missed that one, but there's definitely gonna be some guys I take that he's going to be mad about. So,
yep.
We'll see.
Be fun.
All right. Let's get right into it, Joe. I mean, we have one big news story. It's not really – we don't know how relevant it is yet exactly, but we'll get into it when we get into the Chargers. So without further ado, let's just get into it. The worst team that is projected by Vegas to be in this division is the Las Vegas Raiders. Should come probably as no surprise to anyone there. Let's just start with the cream of the crop, and that is Ashton Jeanty. He is going overall number 13 right now, RB4 off the board on Fantasy Pros. Listen, Joe, I mean, this is exactly the kind of guy I want to get at 13. I'm a sucker for getting like a really high, like a really steady guy at the 12, and then getting a guy that I'm hopeful for that's going to get a lot of work volume at the 13. And Ashton Jeanty kind of checks the box of that latter person of getting a lot of volume in that spot. And I think that I'm not going to have any problem taking Ashton Jeanty. I'm sure, and the Scott Fishbowl, kind of depending on how the board breaks out, because there's a lot of different things, I'll probably be grabbing them because I'm just that invested. And this team's not going to be great. And so I think that there will be plenty of games where Ashton Jeanty has a bunch of yards on the ground, even though the team isn't necessarily very good. And I think that that's going to lead to some good stats. Other players on this team, obviously the other cream of the crop player, Brock Bowers, number one tight end. Have you ever heard of him? Overall player 15 on the board. Joe, before I go much further, are you a big, like, take the top tight end guy? Like, were you ever, can't remember or recall. Were you ever like, I'm taking Kelsey in the second round? Like, were you ever that guy? Do you believe in that strategy still after all these years?
I was never take Kelsey in the second round. Even I think I did one year when he crept up into the first. I was like, I'm doing it. It kind of bit me in the ass. But I do think that this year there are five tight ends that you should leave your draft with. You know, maybe six or seven. But I think there are your top like seven guys that you have to leave a draft with. Otherwise, you're just going to be playing the waiver wire each week, which isn't a bad strategy. I usually am the guy that is doing that, but I think you have such an advantage with McBride, Bowers, Kittle, Ingram, you know.
Well, Mark Andrews even. I think Bowers, McBride, Kittle, that is the top tier. Those are the guys, if you get them, those are going to win you weeks potentially. Then after that, you have Laporta, Hockenson, Ingram, Kelsey, even though I don't personally believe in it. I know there's plenty of people that do. Njoku's interesting. Mark Andrews is still like, these are the guys that like I think you can draft and maybe feel kind of good about. But then after that, you got the Tucker Crafts, the Jake Fergusons of the world, where you're just like, I don't know. Jonnu Smith would have been nice before the trade, but now he's in that situation.
Yeah, they kind of took two tight ends off the board for us.
kind of two birds with one stone. But anyway, I think like I wouldn't mind taking Bowers if I had a pick in the middle of the draft. If I was at the either end, I would probably not do it because I think I would take higher upside plays there. But if you're in the middle, I don't think I would mind taking him at like 15, 16, like in the middle of the second round. I don't think I'm totally against that. So I think that's kind of fair value. The rest of the guys on the team, kind of random. You got Jacoby Myers, who's going as wide receiver 40, 85 overall. He was kind of a fun guy to grab in the like hundreds, like when he was going in the 10th, 11th round. Eighth round, though, is a little rich. I think that, I mean, I guess I'd have to see who's going around him at that rate. But I do think you could probably get some good value there with him, depending on if he drops past that 85. But right at 85, I don't know. I'm a little on the fence about that one, kind of how just the board's fallen. And then the only other wide receiver that's really relevant on this team, sorry to say, is, according to Fantasy Pros, is Jack Beck. He's going as wide receiver 71. He is going in the 17th round, so we're talking one of the last rounds of your draft potentially. But they just don't believe in Deontay Thornton. I know we do. We are in the Deontay Thornton hive on this podcast. And then the Trey Tucker hive, Joe, I think is slowly but surely falling by the wayside. I mean, we have seen some good stuff out of Tucker, but as a whole, I think it's kind of falling apart on us there at the last second. So, and then the rest of these guys are just random people. I mean, we got Colin Johnson, who, you know, Bears legend Colin Johnson, Tommy Mellott, who's getting a lot of buzz from people because he used to play quarterback in college. And then the rest of the guys on this team are just random people. I mean, Kyle Phillips is here, but other than him, it's a bunch of random people.
There's no depth at all.
Yeah, none. I know another name people are going to want to think about and mention is Raheem Mostert. And I do think there's something interesting about it, but he is like our age. I think he's like 33 years old. So I don't know if that necessarily is something I would want to put out there. I think I'm just going to give Ash and Jenty all the work, but it's something to monitor. If you have Jenty, you might want to grab him real, real late just so you have the handcuff there. But other than that, I don't really think you need to worry about much on this.
I think you have to be in like a 16-team league for that one.
Probably actually, so. It would have to be deep.
I think I would actually go Sincere McCormick because he kind of showed it before getting hurt last year if I was going way late. But that would just be annoying if Ashton Jetty were to get hurt. Please, no.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That could be a problem. No, but Ashton Jetty is, you know, a lock for, what, 300 carries? Probably like that, 40 receptions. So
it could be a big year. And we've seen Geno Smith's able to facilitate a quarterback or a running back. So I do know it's possible.
So real quick, right. Jacoby Myers is going smack dab between Addison, Debo, DeAndre Swift, Jacoby Myers, Caleb Johnson, David Montgomery, and Sam Laporta. I would rather have any of those guys.
I was about to say, I think there's not a name on that list I would take after. I think I would take all of them before.
That's
wild,
dude. I didn't realize he was going that high.
He is, and I don't – I guess it's just one of those, like, the secret's out, but it's like now it's not fun anymore. Like, it was fun when it was, like, 11th, 12th round, 10th round.
Yeah, when you were getting him at 115 overall, it was a great time.
It was like, oh, hell yeah, we're getting the steal of the draft. But now it's kind of like, meh, okay. I mean, he might put up – I mean – he's probably going to put up good numbers that would make sense for that. But it's just like, I don't want to draft him at that. It's kind of like buying something at price instead of like getting it a little bit discounted. It's like, yeah it's still going to do the job, but it'd be cool to have like a few bucks off, you know, just a couple.
Yeah.
Just make it, you know, make me feel a little better about it.
Maybe that will price correct.
Yeah, it very well could. I guess we'll see this weekend. First taste of it. All right. On to the defense, obviously Max Crosby. Don't think we need to spend too much time on him. There was a little bit of buzz about him potentially leaving this offseason, but I think that's all been squashed, and I think he's going to be a Raider. So that's good for them. You got Christian Wilkins. I've always been a fan of him from Miami. Jermaine Pratt signed here after leaving Cincinnati. You know, Cincinnati, who doesn't need any more defenders. I'm so glad that they let another one go. Makes total sense for them. Jeremy Chinn's here from Washington and from Carolina. We'll just see what happens. I did like a little bit of what Chinn did last year with Washington. That was a little bit of a Chinn resurgence, but it's nowhere near what it was that one special year with Carolina where we were like, this is the future. This is the future of this position, is have a DB that's built like a linebacker and can do all these things. He hasn't really replicated it, but again, what he did with Washington, not so bad. So you might take him just to see if he can do that, but it would be a late one at that. I know you're a big fan of Isaiah Pola-Mau. We have him on our Devy team. I couldn't bring myself to drop him because he was putting up really good stats, and I can't really see why that would go away. So I'm probably going to keep him and probably going to be a good guy that nobody will have ever heard of in your – well, maybe the IDP hardcore have heard of him, but, like, the most of your friends that don't really pay attention to IDP probably haven't heard of him. He is a good grab because he's not going to get picked, I would bet. And then Landon Roberts is here. He's kind of had a journeyman career. I'm probably going elsewhere for linebackers at that point.
Yeah. I mean, the Landon Roberts and Jermaine Pratt thing is interesting. I mean, even Jeremy Chinn, if we want to throw him in there, because, like, I thought they were just going to go into the season with Landon Roberts, and I was like, this is wild. Never seen anything like this. And then Pratt gets there, and, I mean, Pratt's been, you know, kind of a secondary linebacker for most of his career, but he's damn better than a Landon Roberts. And then Jeremy Chinn might even play a little bit more safety, so I don't know. The one guy I want to point out that I don't – if you covered him, I missed it, was Malcolm Kunze, because he, back in 2023, had a stellar end of the season and looked like he was going to break out last year, but then had the knee injury that kept him out. So Malcolm Kunze is on a lot of waiver wires right now. If you're in a deep league, not the worst guy to stash.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess just for the name recognition of it all, I think we have to mention that Devin White's here, but I don't – look, he couldn't even crack the Eagles roster when they needed a linebacker when I've already forgot his name – went down for them, and he couldn't even crack the roster there. So I don't really know what to do there with that. And then I don't know what to do with Tyree Wilson. Like, they're not going to give up on him, right? Like, they're still going to give him a chance. I just don't know what role he looks like. I wouldn't draft him. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just like, I don't know where he fits into all this, because they're not just going to drop him, I don't think. But
the fall off was wild there. I don't know. I would assume Kunze gets I hope I'm saying his name right. I would assume he gets the other starting spot, and then Wilson just kind of floats around.
I would hope so. Well, here's the thing. What's crazy about Wilson, and he pulled out of the Senior Bowl, which I argue was a great decision on his part, because this would have been hunted down immediately, was the fact that he only was a bull rusher. He didn't have any moves. He didn't have any way. All he did was try to, like, go through college offensive linemen and got to the quarterback, and it worked in college. Problem is, you start playing other NFL players and can't really do the same little cheeky nonsense in the pros. And so I guess that's kind of just what, like, why he – it was really smart to pull out of the Senior Bowl, because it would have been sniffed out in a second that he couldn't do it. And it's a bummer, but, I mean, he went in the first round. He got that big payday. So, I mean, more power to him, because he
would. Good for him. But sure enough, the Raiders are the ones that did it.
It feels like it's always the Raiders, right? They always get stuck with a bag that's, you know, has a hole in it or something. Like, it just always happens that way. All right. Well, after all that, the Raiders are 6.5, Joe.
All right. So they got the Patriots, the Chargers, the Commanders, the Bears, the Colts, the Titans, the Chiefs, Jaguars, Broncos, Cowboys, Browns, Chargers, Broncos, Eagles, Texans, Giants, Chiefs.
Well, I'm over. I think 7-10 is completely reasonable for this team. They're not bad. Geno Smith's not bad. Brock Bowers is good. Ashton Jeanty, we assume, is going to be good. All of the metrics point that way. And this receiving core, although it's unproven, we haven't seen them with a good quarterback, right? And we might have to finally see it now, like, that with Geno, who's a little bit more stable than Aiden O'Connell and whatever the dude's name was, the mustache guy.
Minshew.
Gardner Minshew. I just think they're going to be better. Like, I think potentially 8-9's on the table. 8-9, 7-10. Yeah. Sure. I don't think 6.5. I see this differently.
No, I think they can take the Giants, the Browns, Titans, Colts. Yeah, I can see. I'm with you.
I mean, and they're going to win a couple games in the division. I mean, they're not going to lose every division game.
Yeah, this would be a great spot. I know Amari Cooper said he wasn't interested in coming back, but this could be a Keenan Allen spot. And with Geno, that could be a hell of an offense. So
I really think they're one, not even good, just one solid wide receiver away from being a pretty good football team. I don't know. Yeah. I think we're missing
something. I'm with you there.
Or we could always use Michael Mayer. You know, Joe, they drafted him and then just completely were like, we're never going to use him. They could do that. You know, it's not that big of a deal.
Man, when I kept, I was like, man, Mayer would be perfect on the Dolphins after they traded Janu. And I was like all pumped up for it. And then Darren Waller out of left field. But
yeah, didn't see that one coming. All right. Well, technically the next two are tied, Joe. But since I have one of them, I'll just give you one. So the Chargers, Joe, that's next on the list.
Oh, the Chargers. So I'm going to start off with the running game because this offense, they want to run the ball. Harbaugh wants to run the football, and they went out. They got Hampton in the first round. They signed Najee Harris. Those are your two guys. I don't think you have to worry about Vidal coming in or anyone else on this roster coming in. But there's some concern over how this is going to shake out. So what I think is going to happen is I think Najee is going to get, as long as his eyeball's okay, we should dive into that first. On the 4th of July, he had an injury to his eyeball. It was a firework. They say it's superficial and he'll be ready for camp. I don't know what a superficial eyeball firework injury looks like. So, I mean, technically, is the eyelid blown off? Because that would technically be superficial. I don't know. I don't care to speculate. But assuming he's there for camp, I think Najee is going to start. He's paid top 20 money. I think he's going to get the lion's share of the workload, probably 65% of it, because he is excellent in pass protection. So I think to start the season, you're looking at a running back committee that is led by Najee Harris. Amarion Hampton is going to steal that job from him very quickly. And by the end of the season, you're going to have an absolute monster on your hands with Amarion Hampton. Hampton's going at running back 16, 47 overall. I don't think it's a bad value for him, but I think people are really trying to capitalize on his ceiling. If you draft him there, you have to be patient because I do not think that right off the bat you're going to see a ton, but you're going to see him keep chiseling away at Najee's workload to where he's eventually going to take it over. He was constantly hit behind the line of scrimmage on a really bad Tar Heels team, and he was second in yards after contact, only Ashton Chenty last year. So the Chargers, I mean, they did a decent job. I mean, they brought Mekhi Becton in from the Eagles. He's not going to do as good as he was on the Eagles because their line is ridiculous. But it's an upgrade in the middle. We got Slater healthy, and he should get an extension, and Joe Alt's going into his second or third year. So we should see a better line for Amarion Hampton. So I'm very excited for Amarion Hampton. I just think we have to be a little bit patient for him. Najee, I think, you know, if he's going as RB34, 107 overall. If you take Hampton, I would probably take Najee. It's going to be an absolute headache, but I almost think you have to buy both these guys to see how it shakes out going into the season, especially if you're in a July draft. At quarterback, Justin Herbert, QB15, 101 overall. He had the high ankle sprain last year. He did not play well for the first, 10 games of the season, but after week 10, he was QB7 in fantasy points, averaging almost 20 a game. The problem is, like we said before, this offense wants to run the football. So they were bottom five in pass attempts last year. I think a lot of that had to do with the high ankle sprain. I don't see that getting a whole lot higher, though. So Herbert has a little bit of risk to him, and that's baked in at his ADP. There's an opportunity for him to be a top 10 quarterback. Also, he was sacked 41 times last year, so that was seventh most in the league. So if we can get that offensive line a little bit better and they do start to pass more, he does have better weapons than he had last year. So I don't know. On Herbert, at QB15, if he's your QB2, even your QB1, if you're a very daring individual, I don't hate it. I don't hate where he's going right now, but don't expect massive numbers from him. The wide receivers that he has, we'll start with Ladd McConkey. It's going at wide receiver 11, 18 overall. Point is, he takes too many big hits. He's got to figure out, and he's been working on it, trying to get on the ground, be more like Tyler Lockett. But I feel like at his price, you're really drafting him at his ceiling. I don't think he's going to get a whole lot higher than that. Billy, I know you're very high on Ladd McConkey, so I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, but I think with the guys going around him, I would rather have a Devontae Adams. I would rather have, some of the guys are going a little bit later than him at this point. What do you think? That's kind of how I feel about Ladd.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, Joe. I am in the tank for Ladd McConkey. So I will have him on a lot of rosters. So, no, I would not take Devontae over him. I think he has the potential to be a top 10 receiver, probably top. He has a top five potential, honestly. I just don't see the competition on this roster. And although I know they're a running team, this is going to be a better offense this year, I think.
Yeah, and I'm with you. It's just like I feel like that's almost at his ceiling. So I don't think you're getting a whole lot of value there, which you don't usually get in the second round. Hey, so
sometimes you just got to draft players at their ceiling, Joe. That's just what it is.
Yeah, I'm for it, man. He's a PPR darling. He should continue to do that. I'm hearing a lot of people saying Quentin Johnson's going to break out this year. Number one, he is not.
Yikes.
And number two, you do not draft Trey Harris if you're satisfied with Quentin Johnson. Trey Harris he's 55, wide receiver 55, 110 overall. He led the FBS with 128 receiving yards per game last season. That's a tough division to lead the everything in. The way he moves is so effortless, and he just kind of shifts around people. He's really hard to guard, and I think Justin Herbert's really going to like Trey Harris. So I would assume that QJ might start the season, but by the middle of the season, Harris will have his job. So very similar to Omarion Hampton. And then they brought in Mike Williams. You don't have to draft him. Don't draft him unless you're in a really deep league. But he does have a connection with Justin Herbert. So I do think he will have a couple pop games in there. He does not have the speed he used to have, but he could be a solid, you know, bye-week fill-in, or if your team's just absolutely sinking, he might be able to put up some numbers for you. The other reason that I think Ladd has a little bit more competition for those short routes is they got Tyler Conklin. He's a tight end 33, 225 overall. This is the best quarterback Tyler Conklin has ever played with, and don't give me that Aaron Rodgers shit. He is way past his prime. So Tyler Conklin's playing with Justin Herbert, and then Justin Herbert gets probably the best tight end he's had in his career with Tyler Conklin. So I think you have a value in Tyler Conklin. I don't hate taking him as your last pick, as your tight end too. I think he'll absolutely pay off. He's going to take over Will Disley's spot, and they try to use him. Now, Olande Granson, I'm going to screw up his name. He's getting a lot of hype right now as a rookie. He showed out in camp. He's awesome. He's still a rookie. I would expect his breakout to be in 2026. And later, I'm not expecting much from him this year. I think you got Disley and Conklin in front. That's probably what they're going to roll with. And maybe we see him make a couple splash plays, but that's about it. Overall, pretty good offense. Should be a lot better this year than it was last year.
Definitely. I think one more year of the offense, and now you have, in my opinion, a better running back. I agree.
Much better running back. It'll be fun. I think a lot of these guys have value. The only thing is, like, you know, they want to run the football. So it's like it kind of caps the playmakers on offense outside of the running backs. But we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, we saw Herbert do it in the past, so maybe we can see it again. On defense, you know, the two guys you really need to look out for are Deion Henley and Derwin James, obviously. Derwin's safety one. He's going 12th overall. He's going into year two of the system. Absolute stud. Do not worry about drafting him. If you're not going to take Derwin, then I would suggest just waiting on safeties because, you know, you got Hamilton and Derwin. That's kind of how I see it. Otherwise, you wait. Deion Henley, 51, linebacker 29, 51 overall. He's going to get you a ton of tackles. He just doesn't do anything else. So if you're in a big play league, it's not going to get you very much. And then Khalil Mack, he fell back to earth last season, 34 years old. And they lost Puna Ford, which is really going to impact the way this line works. So I'm not really that big on taking Mack this year. I'll let someone else take him. You can take a shot on Thule. He had 8.5 sacks last year. Again, with Puna Ford not there, it might not be as great.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Great, but we could see him get to the 10 sack mark this year as he goes into year three.
That's true. I also like Aloe Gilman. I feel like he's underrated.
He is underrated.
not necessarily a starter, but I just like him on the, I don't know, like grabbing him at the end of drafts. Yeah, this is, I feel like this is a good team. They definitely want to win through defense. Losing Puna Ford is kind of interesting for how they built the defense last year, but they definitely don't want to go into a shot for shot, like we're going touchdown for touchdown. That's not the way that the Chargers want to win football games. And that's going to be interesting for fantasy football purposes, you know?
It will be. Hopefully more throws. So it's good. Sure.
Okay. The Chargers are 9.5.
Okay. They got the Chiefs, the Raiders, the Broncos, the Giants, the Commanders, the Dolphins, the Colts, the Vikings, the Titans, the Steelers, the Jaguars, the Raiders, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Texans, and Denver to finish it out.
Sure.
I don't see anything stopping them from getting that.
I don't. That seemed like a pretty easy schedule, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, all right. We're 2 for 2 on overs. That is never a good sign.
Not a good.
On to the other 9.5 team in this division. That is the Denver Broncos. Joe. Now, if anybody has been listening to this podcast for a couple weeks now, at least, first of all, thank you for keep listening. Yeah, but if you didn't, I went on a crazy rant about how bad the Denver Broncos were going to be offensively this season. And let me tell you, Joe, doing the research, they did not disappoint me at all with that prediction.
And it's a bold take.
I'm happy that Josh has Bo Nix over 4,000 yards because I think – actually, we did – I think we did 3,500. He wanted to do 4,000. I think he's not even going to get to 3,500. And I feel great about that prediction because I just don't know. So starting off, I would love to say we're starting off with a crown jewel on this team, but there isn't one. So we'll just start out with the best player, and that's in the wide receiver room, Courtland Sutton. So he's going – 48 overall, wide receiver 24, about the fourth round. Feels about right. You would think that that's probably where he's going to end up at the end of the season. I don't really think he has a ceiling any higher than wide receiver 24. Like, if he ended up wide receiver 22, like, I think that would be crazy. Like, I think that would be a really good season for him, but I just feel like that would be almost exactly where I would expect him to end up. So I'm not really clocking that one as a guy I'm probably going to take because literally he's going to have to run perfect to return the value, even with it being at 48. So just going to put that one out there. This is going to come off as me being a hater, Joe, for this whole thing. And I promise you, I'm not, I'm just giving you the facts. Other wide receivers in this room. We have Courtland Sutton. That's the only one. We have Marvin Mims, Devon Vele, Pat Bryant, Troy Franklin, and Trent Sherfield. Vele is going as wide receiver 81. Marvin Mims is going as wide receiver 60. Both of those players, like Marvin Mims is 152, so that's in the 15th round, and then Vele is almost on the fringe of undraftable. I know there's been a lot of talk about Pat Bryant potentially breaking into this offense. I would say it's going to be up to training camp or not. Like, with us doing these drafts that we're doing in July, maybe there's going to be a little bit of a bump for him to be up here. But I think at the end of the day, I don't know if he's going to break through and be a starter for this team this season. I hope so. Cause I mean, we saw some good things from Troy Franklin, but he never was a starter. And most of the time it was just one catch for 40 yards. And that would be the end of the day for Troy Franklin. And while I hope Pat Bryant is more than that for this team, him and Courtland Sutton kind of have redundant skill sets. Is another problem I find. They kind of played the same ball game, and I don't think you need two of those on this team, especially when I think Bo Nix needs different weapons than that. Like, Ladd McConkey would feast on this team. Why they don't go out and get a really good slot receiver for him, I think that would make this offense hum, but they don't see it that way, and that's fine. Whatever they want to do, I'm sure that, you know, this team, you know, what's his name? The coach of the football team that I can't think of. Sean Payton. Yeah, he has never turned out a really good slot receiver in his entire career. So I'm sure that adding another one that could potentially be Michael Thomas, who they tried to say that's what Pat Bryant is, I just don't see it yet. And I guess we're going to have to because Pat Bryant didn't really play that way in college. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. And I'm more than happy to be proven wrong there. I just don't think it's going to be this year. I think there's a lot of like laboratory work to do with this team to try to figure out what's going to work. Headed to the running backs. We got J.K. Dobbins as RB1. That is a dangerous ball game, Joe, because they drafted R.J. Harvey, and we were all on the R.J. Harvey hive thinking that, okay, well, he's obviously clearly going to be the starter on this football team for this season. And so, you know, while we all think that the good things are what we want in life, Sean Payton decides that we don't. So he's probably going to run a two-headed monster with J.K. and R.J. Harvey. J.K. did have some really good things going last season when he was playing. I do think that he's going to get a good, like, couple, I would say 10 to 15 touches a game, and he's probably going to turn that into some good things. R.J. Harvey's probably going to be the goal line back, I would say. Plus, maybe he shows out enough to where it's like you can't keep him off the field. I definitely could see that happening. With him taking him in the second round, that's just high enough for me to think that they are going to probably trust him with a couple more touches than just random. But we have seen second round running backs go by the wayside. It's not unusual for that to happen. And then Audric Estime is gone, but never forgotten. On to Evan Engram, tight end 7, going 80th overall. I think that Evan Engram, for me personally, is the end. Like, that's the end of where I would take a tight end and feel good about it. After that, I'm just going to be penny pinching towards the mid to late rounds of the drafts, just trying to pick something up and trying to cobble something together and moneyball my tight end spot, if you will. But I think if you're wanting a good, consistent tight end, I think Evan Engram is the end of that list. He's going to probably be the wide receiver 1 on this team. I know Cortland Sutton's there. The trade rumors are not quiet still. I still think there's a chance that he gets chipped off because Pat Bryant would be a perfect person to put in his spot. But we'll see. I do think Evan Engram ends up with a lot of work on this football team, and I'm kind of happy that he ended up here because I do think that he might be able to finally break the tight end curse that the Denver Broncos have had for a couple of years here, where there's just been nobody that relevant. A little bit of Greg Dulcich, but that was probably the last guy that we trusted in this role. Is there anybody on this offense, Joe? Like, from the hater aside, is there anyone on this offense that I'm misrepresenting in any way that you feel I should be different?
Well, I don't think a lot of what you said is incorrect at all. In fact, I agree with you on a lot of it. I was just lamenting over Greg Dulcich there. We thought we had something that never happened. But Evan Engram going as tight end 7 is ridiculous. He's a top 5 tight end. I don't see any way that he is not a top 5 tight end, assuming he stays healthy. I saw a thing the other day, and they were comparing R.J. Harvey and J.K. Dobbins to Mark Engram and Kamara. I could actually see that playing out, and I absolutely love the fact that J.K. Dobbins is now going over R.J. Harvey in a lot of drafts, because R.J. Harvey, I think, is going to outperform J.K. Dobbins by a ton. I think that second round capital, what Sean Payton saw in him for this offense, is there's a reason he's here in Denver, and I think he immediately takes over that job. And let's not forget that the running backs had 120 targets in this offense last year. So I think Javonte had 72 targets, I believe, off the top of my head. That's crazy. And we know J.K. Dobbins is not a pass catcher. So if R.J. Harvey starts getting that work in the passing game, wheels up for R.J. Harvey, I think he's an awesome value. And then I do disagree with what you said about Cortland Sutton. Just because I think that he has to be featured enough to where he can easily replicate that kind of what he did last year. I don't think it's going to be much better, but, you know, top 20 guy, I'd say.
It's potential. I don't know. I just don't see it. All right, on to the unit that's going to make this team relevant, and that is the defense. This defense is cooking. There is a lot to like on this Denver Bronco defense. So just starting out, I don't even know where to start. We got Nick Benito and Jonathan Cooper, I think, are both good guys that you're going to want on your teams. Both are good for me. One of them is going to get a sack each week. Let's put it that way. You might not have the one that week, but it's definitely coming. Zach Allen's fantastic. Jonathan Franklin Myers is solid. Dre Greenlaw is a fantastic addition to this team.
That was awesome.
I'm very interested to see what he does coming in from San Francisco. And then Alex Singleton was really good last year. I kind of was hoping we'd see Drew Sanders like come out and be and put in that role like to start. And I'm not saying he won't. He might. I don't know. I just like would like to see it. Justin Strand, another guy that was really good last season that I think would crack the starting lineup on a lot of other teams. And that's not to mention even the back end of this team. Got Hufanga, who joined this team. You got Brandon Jones, are both solid. New guy, Jahdae Barron, should be out there and relevant. You got Pat Surtain, who's the defensive player of the year most of the time, it feels like. And then Riley Moss is solid, too, as a cornerback. Like, these guys are cornerbacks. You can still draft them and be potentially your starters for your defensive back spot. Like, there's really not a weak spot on this defense, and they've got depth out of every orifice of their being. So, like, this defense is just phenomenal. Like, I can't say enough good things about it. There's backups on this team I kind of want to draft to, like, but play on my team, because I know even in their rotation spots, they're still going to put up enough numbers to where, like, I might get a flex, like, amount out of that. So, I don't know, Joe. I don't have anything more to say, because this defense is just – it's a beautiful work of art.
It's ridiculous. And the one thing I'm interested in is the linebackers, because, I mean, Greenlaw already is dealing with hamstring stuff, and we saw that kind of throughout his career. Drew Sanders, you know, tore his Achilles, came back. Not to mention Greenlaw tore his Achilles and, you know, came back last year. But and then Singleton looked really good, tore his ACL, so he's coming off of an ACL. I do think there's a chance that Drew Sanders can make some noise in this linebacker room. And they've been using him back at middle linebacker in camp. They kind of switched him from off-ball linebacker to where he was rushing the passer a lot more. So now they're using him back at middle linebacker. You know, they have a lot invested in him. So I do like Drew Sanders. If you're in a dynasty league, I would try to acquire him. Yep. That's the only thing I have to add.
The team I have him on, I am Diamond Hands Holding, because I am very invested from him. This defense is just, man, it's going to be fun to watch this season. All right, Joe, the team is 9.5 wins. So same as Chargers.
Okay. Titans, Colts, Chargers, Bengals, Eagles, Jets, Giants, Cowboys, Texans, Raiders, Chiefs, Commanders, Raiders, Green Bay Packers, Jacksonville Jaguars, Kansas City Chiefs, and the Los Angeles Chargers.
I'm under, but I'm
not under by a lot.
They play a lot of good teams, and with their offense, I don't think in some of these games they're going to have enough. I just don't. I think Bo Nix had a fantastic rookie season. I'm not taking anything away from what Bo Nix did last season. It was really, really good. I just feel like year two, I think a lot of the cute stuff that was working last season for them is not going to work this season. And eventually, you have to have talent to win football games. Sorry, it's just the way of the road. So, like, I think a 9 or 8 win season's coming up. They're not getting to 10 wins. No way.
Your argument's very sound. I'll go over because of that defense. That's unreal.
The defense is going to keep him in every game, because they're a top five at their position, that defense. It's just the offense, I think, is in the 20s somewhere, which is just like, what Sean Payton team has this ever been? Where the offense is nothing, but the defense is just, you know, like the 85 Bears out there. All right, last one is the Kansas City Chiefs, Joe.
The Chiefs. All right. Patrick Mahomes, everyone's favorite guy to draft. He's going to QB6, 60 overall. He was sacked 36 times last year, which is the most in his career, and he was under pressure a ton. So he had his lowest yards per attempt in 2024 in his whole career. They went out, they got Josh Simmons, they re-signed Trey Smith. The line should perform a little bit better this year. I don't hate Mahomes, and with the weapons he has, he can absolutely get there, but you're drafting him on his name value. That's my only problem with Mahomes, is you're always going to be drafting him on his name value. It's clear that they want to kind of – I mean, we saw their regular season performances the last 2 years, guys. It's they're going to dink and dunk their way into the playoffs, and then they're going to start playing football. That's kind of what it is. So I think Mahomes is a little bit capped. Not so much the weapons on the team, but I would take other guys over Patrick Mahomes. The running backs, Pacheco fractured his fibula last year. He came back at the end of the year. It's really hard to get going after breaking a leg. So he even said he was having trouble, you know, kind of trusting it when he was running. So he's going at RB 28 and 77 overall. He is a massive value to me with where he's going. Now, there is this pocket of running backs right here. It's Pacheco, Tony Pollard, Caleb Johnson, Quinshon Judkins. This is a solid, solid pocket of running backs here. And I would highly suggest targeting this pocket of running backs here to draft. So I don't mind going with a hero strategy, getting your guy early, you know, coming back and taking Pacheco here, take Quinshon here. I think you'll be just fine because they aren't great. But we saw Pacheco run in this offense, and it was fantastic. I think he's going to get back to that. They do have Kareem Hunt there. He's going at RB 61, 28 overall. They're paying him $1.5 million. Why wouldn't you? I mean, he's 29. You'd want to think he's like 35 years old, but he's 29. He's a smart running back. He's going to get you those short yardage plays. Probably going to be a thorn in the side for Pacheco, but not someone you're drafting and not too much of a threat to Pacheco. So I like him. The other guy, Breshard Smith out of SMU, seventh round pick. Billy, your guy. He's been using the pass game a ton in camp. They're kind of using him in that Jerick McKinnon type role that we saw. So he could absolutely have some value in this offense. It's a guy, I mean, he's going 270 overall. Might get the Barry bump. We might see, but Shard Smith, not the worst guy to put on your team. We've seen them trust seventh round running backs before, i.e. Pacheco. So his draft pick does not keep him off the field at all. Where it gets interesting is these wide receivers. Rashee Rice is back. He's wide receiver 12, 21 overall. He was on pace for 174 targets last year, which is crazy. I think it's going to be hard for him to get back there this year. But the position he plays is exactly what they want to do on this team. It's that short dink and dunk stuff. It's almost an extension of the running game when he catches that, you know, 4 yard slant and just dives forward for six more yards. It's perfect. And he plays that role better than anyone. There's no one else on this team that is built like Rashee Rice. So his role is not really in, you know, threat of being taken outside of a couple dump offs to the running back. So I do like Rashee Rice a lot. He's coming off the LCL. He should be fine. But there is a lot of risk in with this pick. He's going, like I said, a wide receiver 12. You're investing a premium in Rashee Rice. This pick, it's just how risk averse you are, because we could see Xavier Worthy break out. We could see them continue to use Kelsey. I don't think those two things are going to happen. We can see the running backs kind of bust into that. Breshard Smith kind of take into that role a little bit. There's a lot going on with Rashee Rice, and his ADP needs to come down a little bit. When he was going in the fifth round and fourth round, holy shit, I was taking him all the time. But I don't think he's going to be on pace for, you know, 9-10 targets a game this year like he was before. But I'm happy. I'll take Rice if that's who I want to take there. I have no problem with you taking him. I just hope to God his ADP comes down a little bit more. Xavier Worthy, wide receiver 32. You know, if you love him or you hate him, that Super Bowl catch was iconic, and that's something that's going to live on forever. I think with Rice back, he's going to go back to being more of an intermediate and deep target in this offense. It's probably going to be inconsistent. I don't expect to see what we saw at the end of last year. He's a great best ball player, though. So if you're playing best ball, I don't hate taking Worthy. I just don't think he's going to be consistent enough to give you that wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 value you're looking for. And Hollywood Brown also hurt last year. He came back, played a couple games, didn't really fit into this offense the way we thought he was going to. And I still don't know where he fits in. I think he's kind of a third piece to the wide receiver core, and that's about it. He'll have a couple, you know, 4 or 5 catch games. I don't expect anything nasty here. Shout out to all the Jalen Royals lovers. He's not going to do shit this year, so move along with that. Just had to call you out. And then Travis Kelce, because he is a wide receiver, he is going at 91 overall in tight end 5. He did finish as a tight end 5 last year, but that was not the plan. The plan was to give it to Pacheco. The plan was to give it to Rice and just kind of get through the season, and then we can use Kelce in the playoffs. He's 35 years old, guys. It's crazy. So Kelce will have some big games. I'm not drafting him as a top 5 tight end. Tight end 8, tight end 9, I'd consider it, but I'm not taking him where he's going, especially when Noah Gray had 5 touchdowns last year and Jared Wiley's on his way back from that ACL. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see them kind of rotate those guys in a little bit more.
Okay.
Do you hate it? Do you love it?
No, I think you might be right. I would think if, you know, Patrick Mahomes doesn't take out the leg of Rashee Rice, last season probably goes a lot differently. They definitely missed him in the Super Bowl. There's a glaring hole there. I don't know. I think Rashee Rice is the only person I trust on this team.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Straight away, I don't trust Kelce to get the amount of targets. I think he's a playoff-only tight end at this point. Hollywood Brown's just out there running. Like, they're never going to throw him the ball, maybe once or twice a game just to keep everyone honest. Xavier Worthy, it was kind of fun, but yeah, I don't know. There's not anything on this offense that makes me feel great.
Yeah. No, I'm 100% with you. I think Rice is who I'm interested in, and then I'll take a shot on Pacheco. I won't have him in every league, but I think he's a solid value where he's going.
Depending on price. Yeah, for sure.
And then when we get to the defense, Nick Bolton, he is going at linebacker 13, 16 overall. Hopefully he gets back to where he had 180 tackles. That was awesome, but he had 106 last year. Far from 180, but he still gets sacks, fumbles, and picks. So he's a very solid linebacker. Hopefully gets a little bit more tackles. Carl Loftus had a decent amount of sacks last year. He's going to D22. Those are kind of the two guys that I would be interested in targeting. Drew Tranquil, really, if you're looking for like a linebacker 4, he gets a lot of big plays himself. So it's not the worst guy to have sitting on your bench, but I wouldn't trust him to be a starter. And then Chris Jones, always underrated. Went back, did the same thing last year. He's always good at defensive tackles. So those are kind of the guys I'm looking at. I know Brian Cook was solid, but I'm not too excited about those.
Yeah, nah, you nailed it with this defense. I mean, I wish there was more here, but
it's not as much as I would like.
This team is just like a lunch pail team where they just kind of – nothing exciting, nothing flashy going on. It's just we're going to work and we're going to go try to win another Super Bowl. And that's more power to him. I hope that happens. By the way, Bailey Zappi's on this team. So this was the first time that I've ever been like, you know, if they won one and Bailey Zappi was a Super Bowl champion, I wouldn't hate that.
Pretty cool. No, eat the hamburger, man. Eat the cheeseburger.
That's the only good thing on this one. The Kansas City Chiefs are at 10.5.
All right. Chargers, Eagles, Giants, Ravens, Jaguars, Lions, Raiders, Commanders, Bills, Broncos, Colts, Cowboys, Texans, Chargers, Titans, Broncos, Raiders.
I mean,
I'm going over on all of them.
I am too. I don't really see how they don't get to the number. I mean, Are they gonna go like 16-1 again? No. But I mean, are they gonna go 12-5? Sure.
Yeah.
11-6. I mean, I feel like that's the floor of this team. So yeah,
I think it depends how they get through like week 8. Because they got the Eagles, the Ravens, the Lions, and the Commanders, and the Bills. So really up until their bye week.
Muster up like whatever they need just to win these games. You know, and then obviously Josh isn't here, so I'll say it. They have a ref advantage. Like, we all know that deep down.
Yeah.
It happens. But other than
it pisses me off so much that there's a team that can, like, sit there and idle and then just rev the engine when they need to. It's like, come on, man, for fantasy, can we just do this all year? Can we take it back to 2021?
That's your guy, Matt Nagy, right there, man. That's him. I shouldn't have taken the over. He's literally put a boot on this offense, and he's just like, can we win without actually doing anything? And it's like, how do we do that, coach? I have no clue. It's like, well, I think we could probably win by doing just a little.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's make sure Elijah Mitchell gets 19 carries this game just for the hell of it.
Exactly. You know? Or let's throw these bizarre-ass plays out there that even like Mahomes, you can see is like, what was this call? Like, how did we get here? Like, that just seems to happen every time.
Fucking Matt Nagy.
For sure. All right, well, I think we have the Chiefs winning this division. For me, it's the Chiefs, Chargers, and then I think the Raiders and Broncos are about the same football team. I'm not going to lie. That's just where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I think if the Raiders add a piece on offense, which they very well could, I think they could be better than the Broncos, but that defense is so sick. I'd hate to count them out.
The defense being as good as it is, the problem is we've seen these teams before. Pittsburgh has been a classic example of this, where you have an incredible defense and the offense is just so bland that it just makes, you know, that, you know, they get over 8-8, sure, but like, it's just right down the middle. And I'm like, Sean Payton's going out like this. So bizarre. However, maybe they blew, you know, completely proved me wrong. And Bo Nix is out here throwing for 4,500 yards. That'd be wild. I would love to see that. That would be a shock of all shocks. I don't know. He's going as QB7.
Yeah. It's wild. I do love the Broncos though. I think they have a lot of like underrated talent. This is where you're getting value on your team. This is like, you're not getting any value on a lot of players, but I think with the Broncos, you can.
I think for the first time in a couple of years, you're going to win this one strictly from the mid rounds. Like, I feel like for a couple of years, it was like getting who you got at the end of the drafts, like Jaden Daniels, Jacoby Myers, as we mentioned earlier, like those kind of guys would end up winning you leagues. I think the middle rounds where a lot of people are snoozing because we're like, you know, just kind of going by the sheet at that point. I think that this is where you're going to win your championships from. Like, I really, truly believe that this year.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, just the pockets you're seeing in those mid rounds is the value is immense in those areas. And when you hit on the right guy, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. All right. That's the AFC West. Look, it's a fun division. The AFC as a whole is not a good conference. So, like, this Joe being over on every team and me being 3 out of 4, we still have the AFC South to go that we haven't talked about, and we haven't talked about the AFC East. Some dark, dark times coming. But next week, we're going to talk about the AFC South. We have a special guest coming on the podcast next Wednesday, so that'll be exciting to cover our fourth team. We haven't done a four-man in a while, Joe, so I'm going to be happy to fire that back up.
It's very nice to have that fourth person because, you know, they can do all the research for the other team. We don't have to spitball it.
We don't have to nonsense our way through the fourth team. We can have somebody that's just, all right, ready to go. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's all I got, Joe. Unless you got anything else, get us out of here.
No. Let's everyone start drafting, start mock drafting, start reading, start researching, get your own rankings together, read other people's rankings because it's fantasy football season, and good night.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.